This is a podcast from Minute Media.
It would be a Wolves fan, eh?
On goes Paul. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Blast in the shot. What a goal!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you may be. Welcome to the latest Wolves Fancast match preview episode. On tonight's episode, I've got with me Gully and Cheltenham Tom. We've managed to pull his, he's got a little baby arm, so he's behaving himself this year. Guys, first Gully.
Sorry, mate. You totally dropped out on me there, so I'm not sure what's happened.
How are we?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Not great by the sounds of this. Can you hear me, Tom?
I can just about hear you, mate. You're a bit laggy as well for me.
Right.
Tom,
bear with me. I'll
might have to carry the show here, Tom. should we put you in the driving seat?
Now put me in my paces there, mate. Don't know about that.
There we go. Oh, he's gone for the mobile phone approach.
We're going to have to just wing it this way, guys.
Hey, it's still you.
Still lagging here.
All the better now for the clear picture and audio, mate.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. As always, as I just mentioned, welcome to the latest preview episode. We'll be looking at Wolves versus Leeds this evening once I actually get my act together. But yeah, guys, important win over Everton on Sunday. What was your thoughts on the game, Tom?
Yeah. It was definitely a game of two halves. I think the first half, initially, I thought we set up wrong. I thought that we showed Everton way too much respect. But when we came out in the second half, it all kind of changed and Everton just dropped off completely. Their tenacity, the way they wanted to play just didn't happen. And we just kind of suffocated them, really. Ruben Neves had another great game and the goal from Cody really did just completely deflate them. I think it was Cody at the end who said it was part of the game plan to play that way in the first half and then come out all guns blazing in the second half. But yeah, no, it was an interesting one. It was a good one to watch. But yeah, pleased with the result and Everton just slipped more and more into that relegation battle.
Gully, what was your thoughts? I know you released the GTA Fancast this morning.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, I think I agree with Tom in the sense that it felt like from the first half we were paying them a little bit too much respect. It felt like we hadn't gone out to take advantage of their malaise to the extent that we could and should have. But yeah, Bruno seemed to have a game plan. It worked. I felt as if we could have probably put our foot on their throat a little bit more, but... It's not the way really for us. You know, we tried that first three games of the season and really going kind of hell for leather at teams, and we've not done it since. It's always been quite measured and methodical, and we just proved to be too good for Everton ultimately. And the majority of that coming from Ruben Neves, who was incredible.
Obviously, I didn't want you to be Captain Hindsight, but halftime tweet. Nuno Lage. Was there a bit of humble pie afterwards?
No, I wouldn't agree with that, because if you look at it was right out of the Nuno playbook, wasn't it? It was keep it tight first half, don't concede, and then come out second half and have a go. And that's exactly what happened. So I think people took my tweet a little bit out of context. It also read as if I wanted him sacked, which I'll apologise for, because clearly, grammatically, I made a slight error. I don't want him out. It's just that Nuno Large was out in presence. It felt like the spirit of Nuno had taken over his body and decided to set the team up in such a way, which I was slightly disappointed about, to be honest. But you can't argue with 3 points, can you?
You really can't. It was important to keep that winning momentum going. You look at some of the fixtures that are going to be happening this weekend, and it was important to get those 2 wins, because we win against Leeds on Friday night and we're sort of back in the race for fourth to a degree. You fancy Liverpool to beat Arsenal this evening. That gives them 2 games an advantage on us. But I think we're still in the hunt with as an outside chance. Do you still feel like we're in the hunt for fourth, Tom, or long shot?
I kind of seesaw between definitely in it and long shot. I mean, I think the more I think about it, I would take the Europa Conference place going for four. As I said, it could happen, but I don't like to hedge my bets when it comes to hoping that results go our way. You know, we can do all we can and get as many points as we can, but I do still think if you really, really, truly believe that Wolves can get fourth spot, then every single weekend until the end of the season, not only have you got to support Wolves, but like last week in the WhatsApp chat, I was saying, oh, I'm going to have to back Villa. There's going to be a lot of that going on if we really, truly want to get fourth. It's not only hoping we win games, but that other teams around us lose. And, you know, I'm not in the business of having a nervous breakdown this side of the year. So I think I'd take Europa Conference spot now. But hey, you know, there's always a chance.
Tom, was that a little Cheltenham pun in there, hedging your bets during race week?
Lovely job. I've got racing fever. You know, I don't really necessarily want to say how much money I'm down today, so we will just kind of put that to bed now. Yeah, of course. Yeah, how can I not?
It's not looking great on the old horse in front myself. I think it was all in there. It was inevitable that Tiger Roll wasn't going to win today, and that was the only thing keeping my sort of bets alive. But we'll jump back to Wolves versus Leeds on Friday night. Last time we played Leeds wasn't one of our greatest performances of the season so far, was it, Gully? We drew 1-1 away at Elland Road, but what's your memories of the game?
Yeah, I was there, and it was another frustrating affair, because if all around us, you know how Leeds tend to play. They will press the hell out of you. They will run teams ragged, but we just didn't quite get up to speed within the game, and it was probably one of Adama's worst games that he's played. When you think about the approach that they took under Bielsa, going 1v1 all over the pitch, Adama Traore should be having a field day in that kind of environment, but he just is. I think it's the one game this season where he's not actually taken a man on, which is incredible when you think about it, and you think about his abilities on the ball. And I think if he'd have had a good game, it probably would have opened it up entirely, and we'd have gone on to win it. But instead, we just couldn't get out, and they pressed us back towards the end. And yeah, soft penalty to a certain extent, but yeah, we were under pressure for a large part of that second half as well.
Huang actually put us in front that day early in the game. He was in a bit of decent form at the time. As you mentioned, Joel Gelhart won the penalty later on, which Rodrigo put that penalty away. Tom, do you feel like we've changed a lot since that period of the season, or do you fancy the same sort of game running out again?
Well, I mean, when you look at those stats, and if you showed that to someone who didn't really know anything about how any Premier League team plays, the statistics look like we were lucky to get a draw. And, you know, I feel like a draw was a fair result. I think that we're not the same team, and we don't play the same way as we did then. I think, obviously, it's all part of this kind of first season, testing the waters, seeing the right way to set out against certain teams. And we just didn't do that in the right way on that day. As you said, Leeds pushed us back massively. I mean, the optimist in me says that we now have a bit more of an understanding, or the players have a bit more of an understanding, and Bruno has a bit more of an understanding of how the players work to see out games. And yeah, who knows, maybe in the way that we're playing now and the mentality that we have and the kind of tricks that Bruno's obviously got up his sleeve, which he was able to deliver after halftime at the Everton game, if we were to go back to Allen Road now, then yeah, I would say that, yeah, my head's telling me that we would be able to see it out, for sure.
Going into the game on Friday night, both teams coming off the back of wins, Leeds beating Norwich 2-1 at home. Did you guys see any of the actual game between Leeds and Norwich?
All I saw was the clip at the end where it looked like, you know, they'd won the Champions League or something with that goal at the end. I mean, winning 2-1 with a last minute goal against Norwich at home, look, with all due respect, it's nothing to really shout and scream about. But I guess in the context of Leeds, they'd had such a crap run of form that obviously that was a huge release. And we're both coming off the back of wins, but I just think that we are the informed team. Leeds have been absolutely drubbed since mid-January. Even before that, they've conceded lots and lots of goals. So you would like to think that at Molineux on a Friday night with the fans behind us, we will hopefully kind of dispatch them, really.
What's your opinions on Leeds' recent form? I mean, it's a bad conceding tally they've got, isn't it? I think they're averaging 3 goals to concede a game at the moment in the last 5, Gully.
Yeah, I think to a certain extent, it was always kind of going to come if everyone kind of follows the travails of Bielsa teams. They always seem to have this incredible peak and things just tend to bomb towards the end of, you know, a cycle where his players just kind of probably can't keep maintain the standards that he wants them to. I mean, yeah, it was thrilling to watch at times. I still think about that game where they played Man United. They were 2-0 down, I think, at halftime, pulled it back to 2-2 within minutes, and then still went on to lose the game. And that was just like Leeds in an absolute nutshell. Now, I don't necessarily expect them to be that way with Jesse Marsh at the helm. And I think even the game against... who did they play? Prior to Villa, sorry, it was Leicester, wasn't it? Yeah, Leicester. They were really, really quite good against Leicester, and were unfortunate to kind of come away without any points in it. So there probably will be a bit more of a tidy team, but ultimately, I think the quality within their ranks is championship level for the most part. You know, he's Bielsa's real genius was lifting the levels of players like Stuart Dallas, like Luke Ayling, like Liam Cooper to perform at Premier League level, and they will regress to the mean at some point. And I think that's what started to happen towards the end of his reign. And I don't see someone like Jesse Marsh coming in and really keeping them at the levels that they've displayed previous to that.
If you have a look quickly on screen, their lineup at home to Norwich on Saturday. It was important for them to get Patrick Bamford back, wasn't it? I feel like Bielsa fell into a bit of... unlucky sort of situation, like we did losing Jimenez last season, but they've got that focal point again now. And how key do you think Bamford will be in the game Friday, Tom?
Yeah, I think he'll be a real test for our defence. You know, I think if you think about it, over the past couple of seasons, Bamford has been up there with, you know, the 8 or 10 strikers that have been really, really kind of scoring lots of goals. And it will be a real, real test for the likes of Kilman and Cody if they both start. Well, if Kilman starts to really kind of keep a lid on him. I would like to think that we've got that. Our defence is pretty solid and it's pretty sure. But I would be interested to see, actually, with that in mind, you know, who is going to be starting to face that problem that Bamford poses. Is it going to be Bolly? Is it going to be Kilman? But yeah, I mean, he could definitely score against us on Friday. But as I said, I've got some confidence that our defence could set up in the right way to hopefully keep him at bay.
I have been listening to a Leeds podcast today, and that they did sort of reveal that Joel Gelhart was lined up to play for their under-23s this week, but that's been cancelled now because they want him fresh for the game on Friday night. They've got the front three of Daniel James, Rodrigo and Bamford. Who out of those three is most likely to come out, do you think, Gully?
Well, I don't know if Gelhart would be set up for a start, but I think did Bamford come off at half time in the Alaska at Norwich?
He had 45 minutes, was apparently the plan because of how long he's been out of sort of starting lineups.
Yeah, you wonder if maybe that's their plan again, and they can give each of them 45. I've not been massively impressed by Rodrigo since he came to the club, to be honest. So you wonder if his place is under threat anyway. He's obviously the senior player as opposed to Gelhart, but Dan James offers a bit of a threat with his pace. Rafinha, to me, is top six quality. I think he's an unbelievable player. So really, it's Rodrigo's the odd one out there because Bamford is so important to them. So if Gelhart comes in, and again, real impact when he came on against us in the away fixture. So not looking forward to playing him if he does start.
It's that time of the show where everyone has to tilt their head for a few seconds. I'm not sure about you guys, but my favourite formation for a football team to play is a 4-2-3-1. Do you expect us to go back to three up front on Friday, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, it could definitely happen. I think that the three up front offers a lot. And, you know, if we think about how we set up against Watford, I think that I would keep it at that same kind of system. I think that it will be Rao. I think it will be Wang. And I think it will be Podence. I would like to see Neto start, but maybe it's still not the time. I know that on the last podcast I was on, I said I'd like to see him start and I'd like to see him get a really, really decent amount of minutes. But I think maybe in this game with Leeds going full throttle as they do with the kind of rock and roll football, it might change under Jesse Marsh. But, you know, it might be good to have Neto as an option coming off the bench when the legs are getting a bit tired to really make an impact.
According to the Leeds podcast that I listened to earlier, they did say Luke Ayling had quite a good game on Saturday at home to Norwich. But like Tom just mentioned there, Gully, ideally you'd like Pedro Neto running at Luke Ayling, wouldn't you, if he can get over this impact injury that he had before Everton?
Yeah, I think Luke Ayling's a decent fullback, to be fair. The troubles seem to come when he's had to fit in at centre-half. So if he is at fullback, they'll probably be better set defensively. But I just think, we don't really know what's happened with Wang off the back of him coming off against Everton, do we? So that could tell a story with regards to how Bruno wants to set up. I don't see the front two working in any other way, really. I know Podence came on and did well against Everton, but ideally you wouldn't have a front two with Podence and Jimenez. I just think you need an extra player up there because of Podence's style. He's not going to necessarily make runs in behind and stuff. But with that in mind, if you've got Neto available, I think this is a decent opportunity to throw him in. He's already started him against Crystal Palace. I don't think it was necessarily the smartest thing to do. But if he was willing to start him in that game, I don't see why I wouldn't start him this coming Friday.
The biggest conundrum that we've got as a club at the moment, Villa is the game next after Leeds, and Ruben Neves is still on one booking away from getting a suspension. Any of you think we should rest him against Leeds on Friday?
I mean, you know, that it's an option, and actually, if I'm thinking about it now, if Neves had to start against either Leeds or Villa, I think that I would probably choose Neves to start against Villa. I think that Villa probably pose more of a threat, particularly with the new acquisitions that they got in January, and we would want you know, our best centre midfielder there and present. But, you know, that it's hypotheticals. Neves could play against Leeds, have a great game, not put a foot wrong, not get a yellow card and be able to play against Villa. So, you know, if Bruno's feeling particularly cautious, and he has every right to, considering the kind of fragile situation we're in, teetering on the edge of you know, as you said, top four or five or sixth place in the league, then it might be a decision he makes. But yeah, it begs the question, you know, who would take his place? And I don't know if maybe Kundal could do that. It is an interesting one, for sure.
It'd just be Bruno to do that, because, I mean, I tweeted an entire thread before the West Ham game about how Pedence was undroppable, and then he dropped him. And I made a video all about Ruben Neves last night and how excellent he's been over the last couple of games in particular. So, yeah, right on cue, Bruno will no doubt drop Ruben Neves this week because he's a bit tired, or he's in the red zone or something like that.
There's a few remaining games left of game week 29 this week in the Premier League at half-time. Spurs beating Brighton 1-0, which isn't great for us. We'll drop back down a place. If you have a quick look at the league table and the fixtures for this weekend, Wolves at Leeds Friday night, followed by Villa versus Arsenal at midday on Saturday, Leicester versus Brentford, and Tottenham versus West Ham on Sunday at 2 o'clock. You look at those two fixtures there, Arsenal away to Aston Villa and Tottenham at home to West Ham. There is points for us to gain on those sides around us. So it really is an important game, isn't it, on Friday, Gully?
It is. I'm kind of enjoying the fact that we're still in the hunt for something, though, after last season especially. It's just nice to see that. I mean, it feels like the end of the season is nigh, and like it's flown by. I don't know where the time's gone. You know, to think that Bruno's kind of almost about to complete a full season at the helm, it still feels like there's so much more to come, and he's got a lot more to offer. And you know, you just feel for him not having kind of a fully fit squad available to him throughout the season, because he's shown he's so capable at this level. But yeah, I mean, that West Ham Spurs fixture, yeah, I don't think you're too disappointed if West Ham win that one, really, are you, based on the games in hand and stuff? Especially if we pick up points against Leeds, and that leaves Tottenham with a bit of daylight to catch up on us. So, yeah, maybe that's what we should be gunning for there. But any Tottenham team could turn up at the moment, and you don't know what result you're going to get with them.
Do you fancy Villa to beat Arsenal, Tom, on Saturday at lunchtime?
It could happen. I mean, Arsenal have come on this season. I think that they've gone about their business in a really, really tidy way. I mean, look, they've had five wins in their previous matches. Odegaard's playing out of his skin. Saka's playing really well. They look really organised. So, look, it could happen. I think Aston Villa have shown large parts of play in recent games that they can do the business, and obviously with Coutinho in your team, then there's always going to be that stroke of magic. Being able to get, who was it who had that mad outside of the football to Coutinho? Callum Chambers, wasn't it? I don't think Callum Chambers has ever done that before in his life, but with a team like Coutinho, with a team that has Coutinho in it, it can lift those players who, quite frankly, a bang average, and maybe kind of, you know, shore up the quality and get results. But I think if you had to put a gun to my head, Arsenal winning that game at midday on Saturday, unfortunately for us, because we would need them to ideally not do that. But I can't see another result really at the moment.
It's quite
that
funny,
was
I think.
Pretty ridiculous, wasn't it? That Callum Chambers assist. You know my opinions on Barcelona, Gully, but that was very similar to the Dani Alves Lionel Messi goal a few years back, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And you can only appreciate that kind of quality, can't you, Dan?
You can. I mean, it's a bit like Man United in the 90s, but Barcelona, they were nice to watch a few years ago, but obviously not anymore.
I have to say, I can't resist the opportunity to have a little dig at Villa, just because, I mean, I'm about to go and play with a bunch of Villa fans, actually, when we finish up here. And I always hear being spoken about in glowing terms. We've heard all about Coutinho arriving and getting a little bit of a run of form together. And all this has happened. And like, we're looking in our rearview mirror and they're kind of still out in the distance a little bit, aren't they? And you just wonder, like, why do they keep piping up as if they're like on our shoulders, ready to kind of take back their position as kings of the Midlands or whatever it is? I don't understand where these delusions of grandeur are coming from. There's a long way to go for them to.
I agree. Like, I'm a teacher and lots of my students are Villa fans and they just bang on about Coutinho all the time, like he's the next Messiah. But I don't know if you boys agree, but if Coutinho joins our squad and our system, he makes our team way better. I think that Villa have still got a long way to go in regards to the 11 players that they field week in, week out. And I think you're right, Gully, like they are far off in the distance. And even though Coutinho has been really special and has not put a foot wrong since he signed for the club, overall, they've still got a long way to go.
If you've got players playing well, but your team isn't doing well, that's not good for me. Like, if he's having to play out of his skin and they're still not picking up results, then there's clearly a problem.
Chambers outside of the foot or no Chambers outside of the foot.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be a tasty one on Friday night. Obviously, it's a massive game for Leeds in their battle to avoid relegation. 3,000 Leeds coming down to Molineux for the evening. There was a bit of trouble at Elland Road earlier on in the season. But you look at that league table, 4 points in front of Watford. This will be a game in hand of theirs that they'll be giving Watford. So it really is a massive game for them. But you look at that league table, is there anyone other than Everton that you can see joining Burnley and Norwich?
For me personally, I think it's those four teams. If we beat Leeds on the week on Friday night and they continue to have another couple of bad games and Everton pick up and maybe, you know, Watford or Burnley get a couple of good results, then they're in it. But I think right now it's really, really those four clubs. And, you know, the way that Everton are playing and just the media spectacle, Everton going down, I think it's really going to put pressure on those players, more pressure on the Everton players than those Watford players. I think I can't see Leeds going down. I think that they've still got enough in them to see this through. But, you know, granted, there'll be a huge amount of reorganisation that has to happen in the summer. But at the moment, I think it's those four teams that really should be worrying. Norwich are done. Norwich are dead in the water, I think. But Burnley, Watford, Everton, it's really, you know, a battle with those three teams.
Strangely, I feel like Burnley and Everton being there with the games in hand, you can almost trust Burnley to pick up points with their game in hand more than you could Everton at the moment. Everton just look like an absolute shower. Burnley are Burnley. They're not a brilliant side. They'll never be full of quality. But, you know, they'll pick up a result here or there. Whereas Everton just look like one of the most incompetent teams I've seen in ages, especially at this level. They're just terrible.
Were you as surprised as how bad Everton really were? Because when I watched their game against Man City, they were pretty decent. They gave Man City a good game.
It's that whole thing, though, isn't it, where teams get themselves up for big fixtures and things. And you know, I always think the sign of a bad team is when every player that goes to press the ball is like a second late. And you saw it in the second half against us, where we've never been a possession side, really. Like, we never, you know, topped 55% max, probably, looking at in terms of if we were going to play a game against a team where we dominate the ball to an extent. And we just looked like we could have kept the ball until sunset, like that day, sunrise the next morning, even. Like, it was just an absolute joke how easy our midfield found it to just play around them.
What about you, Tom?
Yeah, no, I think, put it this way, I mean, Everton, I agree completely with Gully. He's hit the nail on the head. I think that they are at a real, real crisis point, and Lampard is scratching his head as what to do with those players. It's like a botched plastic surgery job. All of this money been pumped into the club, and all they're left with is a mixture of all of these different players that have been signed by lots of different managers who have all had different ideas of what system and philosophy they're going to play. And they're all looking around at each other. And I don't really think that necessarily anyone who has an influence on that first team knows what to do next. And I was having a chat with my friends last night about if Everton do go down, who stays? Who stays at that club? Does Pickford stay? You know, that's a serious question. Who in the Premier League really is desperate for a new keeper? I mean, the only real teams I can think of are Newcastle, but that's not going to happen. And if that does, then that would be a shocking signing. Or Brighton. Like, those are the two teams I can think. So I think that if Everton go down, it will be a really interesting summer for that club, seeing who stays, seeing who goes. And I'm all for it, man. I'll sit there, you know, and see how it turns out.
I love that analogy, a botched plastic surgery. Like, they went in for a Brazilian butt lift and they came out with some like mega tits or something, like totally wrong end of the stick. But you got to think that the players who are taking this club down, not one of them is going to have a good reputation at the end of this. Like, and which managers are going to go in and try and take them off their hands? Like, you are going to have to give me a proper sales pitch if you're saying, if you're trying to sell me, I don't know, Abdoulaye Doucouré after what he's played like this season. Like, come on, you're going to need a genius marketer for that.
Yeah, agreed.
I think there's only really that Richarlison, who sort of came out the game on Sunday with a little bit of credit. He did sort of work tirelessly with his runs in behind, but like you just said, there isn't really anyone that Everton squad that screams out, if they sell him, if they get relegated, they're going to get decent money back.
Anthony Gordon's the one they probably have to keep just because he's a local lad and they can kind of build a team around him maybe. But realistically, he's almost the one prize asset that they've got as well, him and Richarlison. You know, I don't know, maybe. I still think someone like Ben Godfrey is probably a decent player. But it's just you're clutching at straws, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, but if that is the case and they go down, they go, right, Gordon is our focal point. Let's build a team around him. Just think about, you know, actually the mentality of the people at the top of the club 5 years ago saying, let's put so much money into this team that we force ourselves into the top five, top six, to then be a championship club who are actually now focusing all of their football around a local lads that they have hardly that they've just brought up themselves. It's an interesting one, and if I'm an Everton fan right now, I'm stressed for sure.
You shouldn't be allowed to make mistakes to the extent that they have had and survive. Yeah, it's just not right.
I've got no general animosity towards Everton, but like you just mentioned, with their recruitment and how poor it's been over the last however many years and how much they've actually spent, they deserve to go down for that alone, don't they?
Yeah, 100%. It's a travesty what they've done in the transfer market, and they've gone through directors of football, like, you know, go through Connor Cody, goes through packs of squashies. If you listen to the In the Stiffs podcast, it's a really good listen, to be fair. I listened to that in the car on the way to work today, and definitely recommend that.
I think it was either Ben Marshall or Andy Lonergan mentioned about Connor Cody's not addiction, but love for squashes.
I was never even aware
of what squashes was until that episode.
Oh, mate, goat sweets.
No, I know now. I have about a pack a week now.
Yeah. The best, man. The best.
Just unreal levels of sugar whilst tasting. If squashes are listening, happy to do a sponsorship. Friday night, Leeds at home. Gully, what's your score prediction?
I'm going 2-0 Wolves.
I think we'd all love a bit of a...
As long as he picks the right team and Nuno Large ain't out again. I'll say it again.
Do you believe there's a good chance, though?
Of what? of him going conservative.
3-5-2 again.
I wonder if he wants to try and make the Jimenez Hwang thing work. You know, he's got his little Harry Kane Son kind of thing going on there, hasn't he? Trying to make them out to be kind of the pound shot version, but I don't want that to be the decision making behind it. I want him to go out and kind of get on the front foot against them at home.
Your score prediction, Tom?
I'd like to go with 2-0, like Gully. Maybe 2-1 if Bamford is up for it, but I think 100% we're winning. I think we're winning. I really feel confident that we'll win. We're at home, coming off the back of a couple of really, really solid performances and good wins. So, let's go 2-0 as well.
I think it's going to be a tight game on Friday night. And I think, because I mentioned earlier, there isn't that many Premier League fixtures this weekend. I feel like there's going to be some sort of like VAR travesty that happens during these fixtures over the weekend, because the Premier League need the interactions, and without the likes of Man United and Liverpool playing in the Premier League, they need something to draw attention back to the league.
Are you suggesting
I think I'm going to go 2-1 Wolves, and I don't know where this is coming from, because this episode for me has been an absolute shambles and I'm all over the place. So I'm going to go with that Trinquet. I was going to score on Friday night. That's how reckless I am being tonight. I don't know why. I mean, he had a good chance to get against Everton on Sunday, didn't he? Fabio Silva played him in. And yet he still managed to balloon it over the bar.
You've got to hit the target there. You've got to hit the target.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. I hate digging him out every week. But he's as bad as Dele Alli for fraud as a footballer.
Bloody hell. That's harsh on Dele, I've got to be honest. At least Dele has a track record.
To be fair. But did you see how bad Dele Alli was on Sunday? When he was warming up, he looked that tired. He looked like he'd been up all night playing Fortnite.
He had a shocker when he came on, and that foul on Jose's side, he was just so frustrated, and it was just a bit of a mess, really. Absolutely. But on Friday, did you both of you boys go to the Wolves Leeds home game in the 2003-04 season? Yeah. And do you
Alan Smith wonder on goal?
Yeah, Alan Smith own goal. And do you remember, did Paul Robinson like snatch a ball off a ball boy or something and get loads of shit from the South Bank? I can't remember if I'm dreaming about that. It was like a different fixture later on, a few years later. But I remember, always there being lots of drama against Leeds when I was a younger lad and we played them at home for sure.
I don't remember that.
I've got to be honest. Yeah.
I remember Stephen Eveson scoring
a couple of goals.
Which was a surprise.
I'm echoing like hell, by the way.
He's gone to shit and he's taking us down with him.
Is there still a bad echo now?
No, you're good. You're good.
Honestly, shambolic. I'm going to have a word with the missus about the Wi-Fi. I know you got to go at 1:45, Gully, so we'll just do a quick quiz and then you can get off. Quiz, as always, sponsored by Pixel Yeti Media. First question this week. 3 years ago today, Wolves beat Manchester United 2-1 in the FA Cup quarterfinal. Who, out of the below, didn't feature in the game? Adama, Helder Costa or Ivan Cavalero? I'll come to you first, Tom.
Ooh. I'm going Ivan Cavalero.
I have zero memory of Adama in this game, so I'm going to go for Adama.
The correct answer was Ivan Cavalero. Adama and Helder both came off the bench that day.
I'm not claiming to have...
Second question. 7 years ago tomorrow, we beat Sheffield Wednesday 3-0 at home. Saka scored from the penalty spot, as you can see in the picture above. Benik Afarabay, and who else scored that night? I'll come to you first, Gully.
I remember this one. It's a good goal. James Henry.
Tom?
You know what? I was kind of thinking in the back of mind, was it James Henry? But because Gully's already taken that, I'm going to go for Jeez, man. Danny Batt.
It was James Henry. We've got two more questions left. Question three is, obviously, on Sunday, we beat Everton, which was our eighth away win in the Premier League this season. That was our record amount of away wins that we breached on Sunday. Our first away win was against Wigan with Andy Keogh scoring the winner that night. But who was our second away win against Gully?
Oh, shit. I was hoping you'd ask about the Wigan one because I was there and I remember Andy Keogh gave him one of the best four striking performances I've ever seen. Turned Titus Bramble inside out. Oh God, second away win that season. Shit. I'm gonna go like I don't know. I remember us beating West Ham away that season, so I'm just gonna say West Ham.
Have you got a guess, Tom?
Hey, that's a tough question. I'm going to go away win. I'm going to go Fulham.
Everyone knows the Wigan. I wouldn't allow you to be on the fan cast if you didn't know Wigan.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
I'm going to go Fulham.
The correct answer was Tottenham Hotspur with Kevin Doyle flick off Nelad Miliat's free kick.
Oh, yeah.
That was the second away win. You both got 1 point so far going into the last question. The last question is a name the goal scorer, and it's just a bit of audio with the picture above. We beat Burnley 3-1 away 14 years ago today. And the goal
scorer. Henry back here to Foley. Good string challenge again from James O'Connor. But Henry under pressure from Lafferty this time goes back to Foley. Ball four, finds the Ebanks Blake. Tears a real chance, the big man, and he scored. Back in the side, he's got it past Karai. 14 minutes played, Connor that's got the goal.
Do you know?
For the big man.
Was the audio clear enough for you guys?
Yeah.
No,
I thought he might have given it away then at one point, but.
I'm gonna go Carl. No, that's too late. Whatever. Carl Court.
I'm gonna say the big man. The big man. Who was the big man then? Shit. Kevin Coyle. We're Kevin Coyle, was it?
No, and I've got no tiebreaker either. The correct answer was Say George Olifinjana.
I was just thinking that.
He was a big man. He was a big man.
He was a big chap. Oh, that's done my head in now. You threw my even. I thought the bet, but you've topped it off now.
Fucking hell.
Sorry, Tom.
I need to get some obscure audio from obscure fixtures. Like, jeez.
I had to look at the Wolves 2007-2008 season review and had to do a screen record just to get that audio. So
that's
how much effort I put into this podcast for an episode to be as shambolic as this. But guys, thanks for joining me tonight on another match preview episode for the Wolves Fancast, a part of the 90min.com network. Hopefully we'll be back on either Saturday or Sunday with a podcast to review. Hopefully the win over Leeds United. If I don't see you over the weekend, have a good one.
It would be a Wolves fan, eh?